Well, it is good to be here this morning. It's good to see so many bright eyes. And it's good that those of you joining us online are joining us. We're so glad that you are here. And we look forward to what it is that God has to say to us this morning. My name is Mike Bartosek. I'm one of the pastors here. My role is congregational life. In that role, it's not exclusively my role, but pastoral care and grief and loss. Those are some of the areas that I get to serve in. And that is the reason why this morning we wanted to come and share this Blue Christmas service with you. Now, you might be asking, what is a Blue Christmas service? Pastor Dave gave us a little bit of a heads up on that. But this service is a place where we have intentionally set aside some time for reflection between the tensions that we can experience during Christmas, where we have challenges that we're encountering. And we're going into this season of joy and celebration, of bright lights and well wishes. And how do we grapple with the tension that we sometimes experience between those two? This morning, by identifying these challenges and facing the emotions that they may bring, it's our desire that we'll be better able to enter into the light of what this season holds for us. The incarnate Christ, God with us. And I believe that Jesus has something that he wants to say to each one of us this morning. As we begin, I would like for us to just, in our minds, travel back in time to the journey that Mary and Joseph were taking from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It's about 90 miles. And as they travel, I'm just trying to imagine what that would look like. We see it in Christmas pageants. We see it in maybe postcards or Christmas cards. Mary is very pregnant. Joseph is perhaps leading a donkey that Mary is sitting on. And I'm trying to imagine in those 90 miles that they journeyed, what would have been some of the conversations that they would have been having? Now, we know that they were very aware of the promise of the Messiah that was just about to arrive. But I can't help but think that even with the angels' assurances of who was being carried in Mary's womb, that Joseph and Mary still had some significant challenges to grapple with. What would they have been talking about? I think there would have been conversations around perhaps some of the stigma surrounding Mary's baby bump. I'm sure that there would have been conversation around the unrest of Roman occupation. For sure, traveling so close to Mary's due date would have been part of their conversation. And I try and remember back to when Terry, my wife, and I were expecting our first child. There's the conversations around what is life going to be like as first-time parents. Those are just a few things that I can't help but imagine that Mary and Joseph were talking about as they traveled down that road. Some of them good challenges, some of them troubling challenges. We're told in the Bible in numerous places that these were not just difficult days for Mary and Joseph, but for many in that part of the world. As we go through Isaiah, we come to chapter 9 and just the first two verses where it talks about, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. There is gloom. There is distress. There are people walking in darkness. There are people living in the land of deep darkness. This is what Isaiah chapter 9 foretells about the time that Mary and Joseph were traveling down that road. These are difficult days. If we come back to our time and we think of Christmas, we have the benefit of being able to look back and see more of the story. Here in 2020, we know that the child that Mary carries comes to save us, to set us free from sin, pain, sorrow, and death. And we're so thankful for the truth of John 3:16 that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son who came." At Christmas time, we remember the giving of that gift of love. And because of that great gift of love, we can sing great carols that are so good to sing at this time of the year. "Joy to the World," "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen." We can sing lyrics like, "O Come All Ye Faithful, Joyful and Triumphant." And that is so good that we can sing those songs, that we can celebrate the joyful and triumphant entry of Jesus into our world. But there is times when we don't feel so joyful and so triumphant. And perhaps like Mary and Joseph, we carry the promise of what this season brings, but there are still things that we have to encounter, challenges that we face, difficulties that we talk about. And perhaps as we come into this Christmas season, our life is not full of joy. Perhaps as we come into this Christmas season, we're not totally triumphant. As we come through 2020, I don't know if any of us at New Year's anticipated that this is where we would be as we approach Christmas 2020. As we enter into the celebration of the coming of Christ, we may be going through pain, through grief, through loss, isolation, loneliness. And that's why we're holding this service this morning, is for us to be able to share in the recognition that for sure this pandemic has left us all with some losses. And so this morning, as we go through this service, we're going to take time to ask three questions. And for each question, we're going to allow some time to reflect on it. And the first question that we have is, as you enter into this Christmas season, what are the losses that weigh heavy on your heart? As we come into Christmas 2020, what are some of the losses that are heavy on your heart? Jesus in John 16:33 is recorded to have said, "In this world you will have trouble." He doesn't pull any punches. We're going to encounter difficult situations and experiences. It is a fact of living in the fallen world that we live in. And so our first question asks us to just be honest with ourselves around the situations and the circumstances of that, and to even name those things. Now, can we do that in church? Are we allowed? We're supposed to count our blessings and name them one by one. Is it okay to count the challenges? Is it okay to name the hardships and the losses? Henry Nouwen shed some light on this question that we can ask when he says, "Our efforts to disconnect ourselves from our own suffering end up disconnecting our suffering from God's suffering for us." And then he says this, "The way out of our loss and hurt is in and through." And so to deny that we have experienced losses does not help us. It's okay to reflect on losses, whether it's just in this last year or through the span of our life. The writer of Ecclesiastes reminds us that there is a time to weep. There is a time for mourning. And when we talk about McKernan, our church family, we know that there are people who have lost loved ones. We know that there are people who have lost family, community. And so when we come around one another, we can recognize the losses that we have experienced. And our losses can also include loss of relationship, where relationships have been strained or broken, loss of employment, loss of community, loss of peace. And we're going to take some time now just to reflect on those things. If you're here in the sanctuary, there was a little handout with a little Christmas ornament on it. During this song, I'm going to invite you to maybe write down some of the losses that you've experienced. If you're at home, grab your journal, grab a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil and just reflect. And we're just going to take some time to be reflective. And our worship team's going to sing a song about Jesus' care for us in the midst of that. So let's just take some time to reflect.
If my heart couldn't tell a story, if my life wouldn't sing a song, have a testimony, if I have anything at all, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. His faithful hand has held me all this way. When I'm old and gray, my days and armored on the earth, let it be in you alone my joy was found.
When my children tell their children, let this be their memory, treasure was in heaven, and you were everything to me.
No one ever cared for me like Jesus. His faithful hand has held me all this way.
know that challenging when we take time to reflect on the things that we have lost. And I think what can further challenge that is when we reflect on how we feel about those things. And our second question this morning asks us to not just look at what we've lost, but to look at, when we're totally honest with this list of losses, when we're honest with ourselves, with others, and with God, with respect to how we feel, our emotions, the emotions that we experience, what do we say? What do we say to ourselves? What do we say to others? What do we say to God? If we're honest, that can be hard. It can be hard for a number of reasons, and one of them is because when it comes to the Christian life, sometimes I feel like the only emotion I should outwardly admit to is the emotion of joy. I mean, John 10:10, Jesus says, "I've come that they might have joy and have it to the full." Or at least that's what I think it says. But when you go to the text, Jesus says in John 10:10, "I've come that they might have life and have it to the full." And that doesn't mean that joy isn't a huge part of the life that Jesus promises us. But life, as Jesus told us in John 16:33, "In this life you will have trouble." Joy is a huge part of the life that God gives us. Jesus brings us joy. But in life, we do have trouble. Looking out from the platform this morning, it's, as I alluded to earlier, it's nice to see bright eyes. It's strange to see us wearing masks in church, sitting so far apart from one another. We keep our distance and we wear our mask here in church to protect those around us from the COVID virus, and that is important. And the distance and the masks protect, but they also conceal. And they make it hard to communicate clearly, and we've all experienced that. "What did you say? I didn't understand." But as I thought about this service, as I was preparing, it got me to thinking that long before COVID came along, I think sometimes we got used to wearing masks and keeping our distance with one another. Could it be that we have been practicing emotional or maybe even spiritual distancing, and that we've been tempted to wear a mask in church for years? The mask that we may have been tempted to wear is the one that has the big smiley face on it. And I love the smiley face mask. I think they're great because we, in these days, need joy. But sometimes an arm's length distance and a paper-thin smile mask can keep us from sharing what's really going on inside. And if you're here at church this morning, I'm going to ask you to keep your physical mask on. But I want to encourage all of us, whether we're here or online, to be willing, where it is appropriate, to take off the mask that we might be wearing, to get close enough to speak honestly about what these losses that we wrote down on that piece of paper mean to us. Take off the mask. Draw close to someone and share what's on your heart. Share your hurt, your frustration, your joy. Share the losses along with the triumphs. And I think the first person that we need to be honest with is ourselves. In 2015, Disney released a cartoon movie called Inside Out. And The plot of the movie is this young girl who experiences a loss. And as we watch the movie, we get to see it from a unique experience, that being that we see the losses that this young Riley experiences from the viewpoint of her emotions that are these little personified characters. Riley's emotions that we get to watch her go through loss with are joy, anger, fear, sadness, and disgust. And early on in this film, the emotion of joy admits that she doesn't understand why sadness is in Riley's head. What is the purpose for it? And I think sometimes we too wonder what the purpose is for sadness and some of these other hard-to-handle emotions. And I think we need to be honest with ourselves. King David was so good, a man after God's own heart. He was so good at being able to be honest. In Psalm 15, verse 1, he addresses the need to be honest with himself, the need for us to be honest with ourselves. In the King James Version, it says this, "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart." Speaketh the truth in his heart. David knows that part of being a righteous person is speaking the truth even to ourselves in our own heart. And that can be hard sometimes because we're not always comfortable. We don't always understand why we go through the things that we do and why we feel sometimes the way that we feel. But we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be honest with one another is another thing. If there's one place in this world that we should be able to be honest with one another, where we should be able to be real, is in the community of those who love and serve Jesus. In Galatians 6, we're encouraged to bear one another's burdens. And in doing so, we fulfill the law of Christ. This means that we can find appropriate ways and avenues to support each other and to share with each other how we're really doing. Up on the wall, we talk about a right relationship with one another. And I think it is so important that we be honest with one another. We share with one another. We take off the mask. And we be real with each other. To share the joys. We rejoice with those who rejoice. But we also weep with those who weep. In this world, we will have trouble. Our days have their challenges, and this pandemic has not made life any easier. We know that. But a right relationship with one another is one that is based on honesty and transparency and bearing one another's burdens in a safe place where we can share with one another. We can take off the masks, and we can be real with each other. And we also value a right relationship with God. And I think sometimes we're even afraid to be honest with God. And if there's one thing that King David shows us in the Psalms is that God is okay with us being honest with him. So many places, David, a man after God's own heart, lays his heart out before God. Psalm 142 is just one example. It begins with, "I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him I tell my trouble." God wants us to talk honestly with him. And I think one of the things that we sometimes forget about Jesus is that when he became flesh in John chapter 1, it talks about the word becoming flesh, and Eugene Peterson in his paraphrase says, and he moved into the neighborhood. When Jesus became flesh and moved into the neighborhood, he did not insulate himself. He did not isolate himself from the pain of living in a fallen world. If we go back to the foreshadowing of what the Messiah would encounter in Isaiah chapter 53, it says this: he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Trouble is familiar territory for Jesus. Suffering, pain, and loss are not foreign to him. So why should that matter to us? Well, I think because when we know that Jesus encountered pain and suffering and he was familiar with sorrows, we know that the God that we serve has firsthand knowledge of the losses that we are going through. He knows our grief in times of loss. And when we talk about going into Christmas, as we enter into the Advent season, this can be one of the hardest times when we think about all the traditions and the experiences that we have shared with loved ones who are no longer with us. This can be a very difficult season. But we're thankful that we know and serve and love a God who knows what that's like. I would venture to say all of you in here, most all of you in here, probably know John 11:35 by heart. You may not know its address, but when I ask you, what is the shortest verse in the Bible? You would say, Jesus wept, John 11:35. The shortest verse in the Bible reminds us that Jesus wept at the loss of Lazarus. He lost someone who was dear to him. And I want to encourage you today to take off the mask. Speak the truth to yourself. Speak to those who you can trust to bear the burdens with you. And be honest with God about what losses you've experienced. We're going to sing a song called Come Out of Hiding. Let's come out of hiding with the thoughts around these losses that we've experienced. Let's bring the challenges that we have before the Lord. Let's share with one another, bear one another's burdens. May God bless us as we do that. May we encounter true community as we do that.
Time to reflect on that second question about being honest with your feelings with God. Like Mike said, we're going to sing a song, Come Out of Hiding. The words in this song are from the perspective of Jesus talking to you. So I encourage you to write some thoughts down on the cards or in your journal or whatever, and pray that this song is encouraging to you too.
Come out of hiding, your Savior. To cover what I already see, you've got your reasons, but I hold your peace. And you've been all locked down, and I hold the key. 'Cause I've loved you before, and knew it was love. I saw it all, so I chose the cross. You were the one that I was thinking of when I rose from the grave. Now rid of the shackles, my victory's yours. I tore the veil for you to come close. There's no reason to stand at a distance. distance anymore. You're not far from home. And I'll be a lighthouse when you're lost at sea. And I will illuminate everything. No need to be frightened by just throw off your fear and come running to me. Oh, cause I loved you before, you knew what was the love. I saw it all, so I chose the cross. You were the one that I was thinking of when I rose from the grave. Now rid of the shackles. My victory's yours. I tore the veil for you to come close. There's no reason to stand at a distance anymore. You're not far from story. No, as you run, what hindered love will only become part of the story. No, as you run, what hindered love will only become part of the story. No, as you run, what hindered love will only become part of the story.
The name of the song that we just sang was Out of Hiding. Yeah. What a beautiful message of God calling to us in the midst of hard times. The last question that we want to look at is asking, what is God saying to me in the midst of these losses, in the midst of how I respond to them, what emotions it brings out. What is God saying to me, and where can I see light in the darkness? As Pastor Dave and I were talking about this service, he brought about this great image of what this could look like. He shared the idea of this service being like meeting God for coffee and sitting down across the table, taking off the masks and telling him our story and sharing with him and asking him to speak into our life. What is it that he wants to say into our life when we share our losses, when we tell how we feel about them, when we're honest and allowing God to speak into our life? God wants to speak into this space. He wants to speak into your life. And I'm not presuming that I have the answer to your particular conversation with God. But I'd like to share with you some glimpses of what it talks about in Isaiah chapter 9 of a people living in darkness seeing the light. We began this morning by coming to grips with the truth that in this world we will have trouble, which is one part of John 16:33. But that, I am glad to say, is not the whole of that verse. John 16:33 says this, and it is Jesus speaking. He says, I've told you these things that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. In this world we will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. In John 1 it talks about the darkness did not overcome the light. Jesus comes into this world as the light, and he has overcome the world. The light is breaking in the darkness. When we come as weary and burdened people, Jesus meets us there. He wants to meet us. He wants to talk to us. He offers us not theoretical comfort, but comfort that comes from experience, knowing what it's like to suffer, to be familiar with sorrow, what it's like to lose people. God does not shy away from hard times. His words of comfort come from hands that were pierced for us. The comfort that he offers comes from a tear-stained face. And more than wanting to just simply be present, Jesus is willing to walk with us. Imagine meeting someone for coffee. And at the end of your coffee, you have this great conversation, and you get up and you go your way, and they get up and they go their way. If we meet Jesus in this manner, at the end of our time together, he doesn't say, I'll see you later. He says, will you let me walk with you? Can I walk beside you? Isaiah 53, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. In 1 Peter 5, 7, we're called to cast our anxiety on him because he cares for you. Matthew 11, 28 and 29, Jesus says this, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus wants to walk with us. He wants to get up from that conversation where we share our hearts with him, and he wants to accompany us. He wants to carry the burdens that we carry along with him. He wants to lift them. He wants to give us his yoke because he is gentle and humble in heart. Jesus comes to us offering us light in the darkness. Jesus wants to speak into the losses. He does not shy away from the difficult times. He doesn't avoid uncomfortable issues. He wants to meet us right there in the middle of it all. As we walk through this pandemic, in addition to all the other things that may be going on in our life, Jesus wants to walk with us. And in doing so, he wants us to be able to tell the story of a God who loves us, who meets us, who lifts us, and that we can tell the story of what he has done. And let that be the story that we tell to those around us. I've told you these things that you might have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But he has overcome the world. Let that be the story we tell.
Dark, and it's hard to see what you are doing here in the ruins and where this will lead. And oh, but I know, down through the years, I look on this moment, see your hand on it, know you were here. And I'll testify of the battles you've won. You were my portion when there was indeed testify of the seas that we've crossed, the waters you've parted, ways that I've walked. Oh, my God did not fail. Of ages. is left is high his praises. So sing hallelujah to the rock of ages. Sing all that is left, and all that is left is high his praises. Sing and sing hallelujah to the rock of ages. Sing all that is left, and all that is left is high his praises. Sing to the rock of ages. I'll testify of the battles you've won. My portion when there was indeed none. And I'll testify of the seas that we crossed, the waters you parted, the waves that I
tell is the story of God's victory, the story of his power in the midst of our weakness, in the midst of our losses, that he has come through. He is victorious. He is triumphant. And in that, we can have exceedingly great joy. As we go into this Christmas season, it may be hard. But the child came to bring us freedom from sin, from pain and suffering. Not that we won't experience it, but that he is victorious and that he will conquer. Today, perhaps we've touched on some things that were painful. You have written down some losses that continue to hurt. We want to be able to walk alongside you. If you're online and you want someone to pray with you, click on Request Prayer. And one of our prayer team would love to be able to pray with you. If you're here this morning in the church building and you want someone to pray with you, find someone that you trust. Find one of the pastors, and we would love to be able to pray with you. In the next weeks, we're going to enter into the season of celebration of the coming of our Lord and Savior. We want to be able to walk into that season with joy, but also with understanding that in this world we will have trouble. The ornament that you have here, if you're in the sanctuary, if you want, you can take that and put that on your tree, recognizing that in this season there are hard things, but that Christmas does not mean that we avoid it. Please take off the masks. Share with one another. Share with God. He wants to meet us there. He is faithful. Great is his faithfulness in the midst of these days. And that is an anthem that we can celebrate. Great is his faithfulness.